Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Craig Lucas.
You an African American? You believe that's your heritage? Do you know who you are? King, queen? Nigga with back? Do you shine like a star? Think they gon' tell us? We gon' expose them? They gon' take your life? So many secrets in the vault? Do this knowledge cost? Hop in the book tomorrow? Do you follow these laws? Do they still exist? Have time to wait? Do we have grace? Continue in sin? I'ma ask you again. Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way. Devil gon' win. Tryna make it to heaven. Get there by sinning. Follow the commandments. Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trying. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom. Everybody got choices.
Is it cool to be gay? Did he make us straight? Is the Most High plan? You gon' learn today. Do you understand grace? Remember Noah's day? Did more than 8 people live? Will it be the same way? Is a broad way to heaven? Is a broad way to hell? You choosing death over life? You gon' change your life? Do you love these streets? Do you see police? You wanna get shot down? Do you remember my ground? You ever read your Bible? You wanna know your tribe? You know you more than a slave? Don't you wanna be saved? You ever been baptized? Wanna get in that water? Ever confess your sins? Ready to lift your hands? Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trying. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Alright, you're gonna learn today.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Welcome to another episode of Bible Talk. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. In the words of our, in the Hebrew Israelite holy kiss, I salute everybody. Yahweh, Baha Shem, Yahweh Shai, Baraka, to the 12 tribes worldwide, to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar. Shalom, 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 shalom. Again, welcome. You've reached another episode of Bible Talk. Bible Talk is a podcast that we put on. We try to go Monday through Thursday. Actually, we go Monday through Friday, but we try to go Monday through Thursday. We try to do it from 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here in San Antonio, Texas time. Live 10 a.m. to about noon every Monday through Thursday. And then come back on Friday nights with the Friday night class with Brother Barnabod. On Mondays, going off my brother, since he has Tazza Pot Tuesdays, where he does, I'm going to start calling it Mashabo Mondays. I'm going to start going with Mashabo Mondays. That, again, I'm going to try and get the show started at 10 a.m. in the morning. I do the morning broadcast, but sometimes because we have to work, besides doing the highest occupation, which is trying to awaken the 12 tribes worldwide, to try and wake up that 144,000 so that the whole nation can finally be saved, that we can, get the 100, the steps go like this, brothers and sisters. We get the Most High gets the 144,000 sealed. The 144,000 can't get sealed unless the teaching is going out. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, they have to hear the word. There's 144,000 have to hear the word. Then it says they have to believe the word. And the only way we know or it can be seen or known if they believe the word is through the trials and tribulations that we have to go through. Through like James told us. I'm sorry, Timothy told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3, that we got to be able to teach others how to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ, that we have to endure hardness, that is given to us not only to believe in Christ, but to also suffer for his sake. So there's going to be an amount of suffering, just like with Paul, amount of suffering that's got to take place. Being a disciple, a student of Christ, what type of things did Christ have to go through, from being slandered, being being lied against, being defamed, to the point of literally being rejected by his family, being rejected by the people he grew up with, being rejected, being disrespected, and even to the point of hatred, to the point where that eventually led to his death. All right, that as disciples of Christ, students of Christ, that 144,000 are going to follow the steps of Christ. All right, there's parameters that Christ gives, but if you're gonna really be his disciple, he lets you know what kind of things we had to go through. I've covered that in so many classes. I'm not going to go through right now because there's a lot of reading we're going to do today. But there's a criteria that's got to be met of suffering, of afflictions, of rejection, of like Christ, of loneliness, brothers, of sisters, of loneliness. That the 144,000, they're going to follow Christ. Like it says in Revelations, that these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and that they love not their lives unto death. That it requires having to die for this in order to follow Christ. The 144,000, they're going to do that. All right, so the teaching has to, so going back to the steps, right? The teaching has to get out. That's without question. The teaching has to get out. So they have to hear the word. Again, we're going off of the pattern that's given to us from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Have to hear the word. Then they have to believe the word, and we have to trust in the word. So there's only certain ways a person can show that they believe and trust in the word. That's going to be through trial and tribulation. All right? The trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience is experience hope, not to be ashamed of. That the 144,000, if Esau, think about this, brothers and sisters, like this, for those who might be familiar with the military. If in the world our carnal counterparts, all right, I'm going to say it like that, our carnal counterparts, the duality, where the Israelites are supposed to be spiritual, but there's an army being put together, a spiritual army being put together, we can look and see our carnal counterparts, being the so-called white man, just use him as the main example, that he puts together an army also. But within his army, he's got a thing called the special forces, whether it might be the SEALs, which I think are the top, But then after that, you get, you know, the Rangers, the Green Berets, the Commandos, the Air Force, the search and rescue. They're supposed to be, I mean, these are the elite military factions in the world. Well, just like our counterparts have that elite force, that if all else fails, this team of four, this team of five, this team of six, this team of however in the special forces, they're going to make sure the job gets done, right? For whatever, in defending their nation or whatever it takes to uplift their nation or what have you, they are willing to go whatever. You know, just like with the FBI, if you will, in the movies that we watch, we'll see that there's so many unnamed people that just have a star on the wall within the halls of the Pentagon or Langley or whatever it is, that their names, people don't even know their names, but they gave their life for their country, that people will never know what they've done to promote their country, to help their country, and being the epitome of patriotism. Well, now, just like we have that duality is there with our carnal counterparts. Well, brothers and sisters, there's a spiritual counterpart, a spiritual army. And remember, you know, as all this is coming to mind, I don't know, for those who might be familiar with church, maybe you had a background in church, I don't know how old you might be, but there used to be a song that the song went, the lyrics were, when the saints go marching in, or when the saints go marching in, oh, I want to be in that number, or when the saints go marching in. Well, when we read the Bible, we understand that the saints are the Israelites. And we understand from Ezekiel chapter 37, just about a whole book of Revelations, God's putting together an army. The Father is putting together an army, even though he don't need it, but he's putting together an Israelite army that's going to be on the earth. And that's going to be comprised of that 144,000 men. All right, that 144,000 men that's going to be following Christ. We have Christ, the 12 disciples, being a part of that 144,000. And once that number sealed, whoever that might be, is that know who that number is? Once that 144,000 gets sealed, that's when Armageddon's here. That's when the climax of the World War III is going to finally be. I mean, it's going to be a wrap. It's going to be the conclusion. All right. Where from all the world war that's going to be taking place, the nations fighting against each other, the wars taking place, which the brother Taza Paz is covering right now, some of his classes, that, you know, when all the wars that all the nations have, it tells you in Second Ezra, they're going to leave the war, the fight, the battling they have one against another, to turn and fight against Christ and the army coming from heaven, to fight against Christ and the angels. And that's when Christ is going to come and redeem and actually physically save Israelites. And it tells us through scripture, like in Zechariah chapter 12, that one-third of Israel is going to be saved from this destruction here in America. We read also in Revelation chapter 11. It talks about, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And in that same hour, there's going to be a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, meaning that this era is finally going to be over. That the world is split into 12 parts, and that now this era is going to finally be over. The era of the Gentiles ruling the world is going to be over, and it's going to be the beginning of Christ's kingdom on earth like it is in heaven. So we wake up to 104,000. They get woke. They get sealed. They hear the truth. They hear the word. They believe the word. They trust in the word. That gets done. Christ comes with the angels. Salvation. One-third of Israel, we're out of here. Two-thirds are going to have to perish in the lake of fire, which is going to be Babylon the Great, which is going to be destroyed. But one-third is going to make it through. Then according to the timeline of the scripture and the prophecies and the teaching, then we're going to the wilderness. Just like when we came out of ancient Egypt the first time, when we were in Egypt, we were formed into a nation. We came out of there, and then we had to spend that time in the wilderness before we actually came into the promised land. Well, the scriptures tell us the same thing, that we're going to come out of this Egypt, this spiritual Egypt, this spiritual Babylon the Great, and that one-third is going to go to the wilderness. And it's going to be while in the wilderness, we read about Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 61, that Isaiah 49, that they're going to be bringing our children, bringing our seed from the isles and from the rest of the world. They're going to be brought to the wilderness as well. All right, that those saved out of the destruction of Babylon and what the Bible calls the chariots, or what the world calls UFOs, that they're going to be saved. We're going to be taken to the wilderness, and that's not sure where that's at. Some speculate that's going to be in South America. We're going to be down there, and there's going to be a purging of rebels. That after this, the destruction of Babylon the Great, after our redemption, the place of our captivity finally being destroyed by fire, again, similar to what happened with Egypt. We were delivered out of Egypt, and we got to the wilderness, and what happened in the wilderness for that 40 years? Rebels were discovered, and rebels were dealt with. It's going to be something similar. Yeah, remember, Christ came back and told us, he said, but those mine enemies that would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That's going to be done in the wilderness. All right? That after we depart from the Exodus, the new Passover, we're going to the wilderness, and rebels are going to be purged. Those who have not been rehearsing the righteous acts, those who have not been, like, what God calls righteousness, those who have not been practicing. You might be fortunate enough to make it. One-third of an infinite number is still an infinite number. You still can't count how many that's going to be. But there's going to be a lot of rebels who have not been practicing, not been getting themselves ready, not preparing themselves for God's righteousness. They're going to be rebels. They're going to be, just like our forefathers coming out of Egypt, going to be put down. Then after there's a purging that takes place, then the army led by Christ, full of Israelites, especially from Ezekiel chapter 25, are going to go forth and reconquer the planet Earth, right? And clean up the planet Earth. So there's steps to this, y'all. There's an order to this that's got to take place. So I just gave a couple thousand year history with that dissertation with that dissertation right there, but this was got to take place. So we've got to get this teaching out, y'all. The 144,000 have to hear the word. Whether we do it on YouTube, or we do it here with different podcasts, whether we do it with it from the street speaking, whether we do it from actually one-on-one counseling, evangelist going out, whatever it takes to get that 144,000 sealed. That should be the priority. That's why that's the highest occupation that can be given, is to wake up the redeemed of Christ to help bring back the nation of Israel back to their God. Epic, y'all. Epic. Unprecedented. If I'm Barack Obama's word, unprecedented. That we're standing at a precipice of time in history that really is. We are standing in some very historical times right now, brothers and sisters. And not because we had the first black president. Not because a president who was impeached is actually running for office again. Impeached twice, running for office again. Look, he about to probably make it back in office one more time. That's not the historic times we're talking about. We're talking about the world historical times that the nation, the kingdom of God, from what he has wanted to establish, what his plan from Genesis, the first chapter, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth, that God's kingdom is going to be on earth like it is in heaven. We're standing at these times, brothers and sisters. We are here at this time, but it's important that we're doing our part. So even if you're not a part of the 144,000, are you helping to reach 144,000? That if maybe you're not a teacher, but are you helping to get this word out? Not only are you working on your salvation as far as doing the repenting that we're supposed, that's supposed to take place, correcting the errors that we've been doing wrong for centuries, for millenniums, but now are we helping to get this teaching out? Are we helping to push God's word and his work and what he has going on, all right? And being part of in First Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the body of Christ and the different offices and the different ministrations, being a part of the helps, the governments, the healers, the as well as the apostles, the disciples, the evangelists, the teachers, right? There's many different parts of putting this nation together that need to be fulfilled. They need to be covered. Are you doing your part? Is each of us doing our part? All right. That it might be said when Christ does get here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we all should be striving and want to hear from Christ, that he, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, our big brother, looks down on us with that smile, with that look of approval. Well done. You did it. You did it. That is the highest calling on this planet Earth at this particular time that any of us can get hope for, that we should be working and striving hard for. So with that, brother, again, we do Bible talk Mondays through Thursdays. Again, we try to do it from 10 a.m. in the morning to about 12 noon. Again, that's Monday through Thursday. We're again on Mondays. It's going to be Mashaba Mondays. I'm going to go ahead and borrow that from my brother. I'm going to emulate that from my brother. Mashaba Mondays, where I'm going to be covering a series that we're just walking through different topics. All right, and I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, some of these series have been 30 episodes long, have been 25 episodes long, that we are going to draw it out. We're going to wring it out. Like if you have a garment and you wash it and you got to wring it out, it's time to dry it out, and you wring every last drop that you can wring out. Brother, that's what we try to do with any of our classes, but that's what I do on my show, that we're going to wring out, we're going to try and get the last drop, the dregs of what it's talking about. That's what we're going to climb through, walk through, crawl through. We might even sit and just sit in it for a minute and just absorb everything that we possibly can out of some of these topics that we're going over. That's on Mondays, y'all. Then on Tuesdays, my brother, Tazapa Tuesdays. Where Tazapa on Tuesdays does current events. Now, he takes the first hour and does an excellent job. And hopefully y'all checked the show out yesterday, where he covers current events, right? Things that's happening in the news. And then he matches those things with the scriptures, matches those things with the prophecies in the Bible to help us get that understanding, get that feeling, and know that the Bible is true, that we can use the Bible as a reliable source to believe in, because the prophecies that were prophesied in the Bible, we literally can look at news today and see where the Bible damn near reads like a newspaper. For those who don't bring a newspaper, it's like a Google News, like YouTube News, like Yahoo News. I don't even know what source people might even use today. But for information, let me just say it like that, because some of the newer generations, I probably never heard of a newspaper. But it's reliable for information to rely upon, all right? That's on Tuesdays. Then on Wednesdays, I did get some communication from our brother Nagaya. Brother Nagaya is going to be taking over Wednesdays. All right. Let me do this. Where is this? Yes. Don't mess up now. You better get the guys and come back on Wednesdays. That's gonna be his day that he's gonna be hitting up. Then we come back on Tuesdays, where the brother Tazapa is doing FYI for your information on Thursdays. On Thursdays, brother Tazapa comes back on Thursdays with FYI for your information, where instead of going over current events, he takes questions that he gets from, and as you know, brother Tazapa is everybody's uncle, everybody's friend, just relatable. You can just talk to the man. He cares. He cares about you. He loves you, and you feel that in his class. Well, he takes the different topics and different questions and different conversations he's had, and he really dives in and into the scriptures. And now let's bring it out in a class. Let's go into these things that have been talked about, and let's really bring these things out in class. And that's why it's called FYI, for your information. That's on Thursdays, all right? Then we come back on Fridays with Friday Night Bible Breakdowns with Bonabai. We're just going over Bible topics. All right, we're just going over Bible topics on Friday nights with the brother Bonabod. All right, and then of course we have, and that's the schedule for Bible Talk. All right, that's the schedule for the Bible Talk podcast. We have our other schools that we're affiliated with. other school that we affiliate with, like here in San Antonio, the Sport of Truth, right, which is located at 4444 Walsham Avenue, suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78218. They have classes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., and then on Saturdays they have a Sabbath class starting at 10 a.m. So we have different outlets and different media and different sources where the teaching is being put out. The different administration offices is definitely being put out, and we encourage everybody to get this information, to get this knowledge, all right, to get your head right, all right? Keep your head up. Get your head right. All right, so that's San Antonio, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m., and then Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. For the school, if you're in the Houston, Texas area, we have the SOW, Houston, Texas, which is the Stream of Wisdom, which is located at 231 Effin Road, 1092, Stafford, Texas, 77477, meaning address there. Our school there has classes every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So, yeah, brothers and sisters, tonight is class with our Houston school, right? From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then come back on Saturdays for the Sabbath ceremony from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tonight on YouTube, please log on to YouTube tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to SOW, Houston, Texas, the Stream of Wisdom, their YouTube channel. That starts at 7 p.m. tonight, y'all. Like, share, subscribe. We know how the algorithm goes. Y'all know how it is. Like, share, subscribe. We want to get this knowledge out as much as possible, and we can do it with your help. If we help each other, we can do this. So that's tonight. Their class starts at 7 p.m. Their YouTube channel. If you can't make it to class, hit the YouTube channel and listen to the class and take notes. All right? Listen to class. Take notes. All right? And then they come back on Fridays with our Houston school from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then, like I said, on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For our school in Norfolk, if you happen to be in the Norfolk, Virginia area, we have the SOW, Norfolk, Virginia Stream of Wisdom, which is located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517, being the address there. Our school there has classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then they have a Sabbath ceremony starting at 12 noon. Oh, they're knocking it out the park, off the box, y'all, with the Sabbath ceremony. And you can catch that. Go to the school. I'm going to give you a YouTube address. Go to the school. The schools. you catch them live, though, on Tuesdays and Thursdays on their Facebook Live channel, which is, again, SOW, Norfolk, Virginia, Stream of Wisdom, every Tuesday and Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and that's Central Standard Time, all right? Then on Saturdays, you catch them on Fridays. Well, I'm not on Fridays. The Sabbath, you catch them on Fridays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then on Saturday, starting at 12 noon, catch the Sabbath ceremony that they're doing out there. Great job they're having with that right there. If you happen to be in the Rochester, New York area, all right, shout out to Rochester, located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, suite number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606, being the address there. They also have classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays on YouTube. What's the YouTube channel, you ask? Glad you asked. SOW, Rochester, New York, Stream of Wisdom. All right, and they have classes from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and also Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. So, again, like, share, subscribe to our schools, and also the other YouTube channels that we have. It's called The Hidden Truth Bible Show, the Israelite Media Corps, that's C-O-R-P, Israelite Media Corps, 5 Minutes of Wisdom, and Hidden Books, all right? Like, share, subscribe, get the notification bell on all of them, and check it out, okay? Now, also on Facebook, brothers and sisters, we have our brother Aisha White Desire and our brother Mayanka Allah, all right? Every Friday night, if you go on Facebook to the Fountain of Wisdom, all right, log on to Facebook and request to become a member of Fountain of Wisdom. And then on Friday nights, when they do their Friday night class, you can check them out. The excellent history classes and teaching that they go over. And then on Saturday mornings, y'all, we know that there's outlets and schools that are doing the Sabbath ceremony, Sabbath service and everything. But if you kind of want to get a little bit more, I don't even call it more historical, but a more, get a perspective from somebody who's actually been over to Israel, who's actually been to Israel. Brother Mike Arlen and Ice, they're doing an excellent job with that. They're doing a great job with that. And that's not to take away from any of the other classes, of the Sabbath classes that's taking place. But the only way you can listen to or get a hold of that class is to listen to it live. All right? You have to listen to it live. Whereas any of the other schools that we have, because it's on YouTube, it's being recorded. But to listen to the class live, you want to check them out. And that's the Fountain of Wisdom on Facebook, you can link up on Facebook with Dr. Michael Ben Israel. All right? Excellent, 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 excellent. You can also reach out to the brother Aisha Weitzazah at area code 505-218-4218. That's 505-218-4218. All right? For our brothers up there in the Albuquerque area. All right? For if you would like to congregate with them, get together, check them out. Okay, the brother Aisha Weitzazah, area code 505-218-4218, or Facebook to the Fountain of Wisdom. All right. So with that, brothers and sisters, again, and support. Don't just be a spectator. Don't just be a spectator, y'all. Whether it's the YouTube channel or whether it's whatever it might be, and not just with just our school and classes. Don't just be a spectator. Be a help. Be a help. Do help somehow. You know, not, again, I'm going to emulate good works. I'm going to emulate, which means to copy. It can be in a good way. Emulate can also be bad, but it can also be something good to imitate in a good way. Even the brother Sakari, the Camp Sakari. Not the brother, but it's Camp Sakari. They say, everybody, just donate $2. Just donate $2 a show. Help. Help. $2 a show? That's not going to break the bank. Helping. Hopefully at least some more than that, but to just help out. Right? To just help out. Cool. With that, brothers and sisters, this part of the show where I do send up prayers. For a list of names I've been collecting and getting for those who need help, right? Those who need a little extra help. And again, I kind of do it for insincerity, but also for selfish reasons. To follow the law of Christ is to put others first. All right. It's to esteem others better than yourself, to think about what others are going through and more than you think about what you're going through. And a lot of times, as we're in the times and the days that we're in, a person will be getting hit with so much that we want to get into that fetal position, a spiritual-like fetal position, and just ball up into a ball and just, like, suck our thumb and just stay to ourselves because of how much we're going through. But Christ gives us the key. He gives us the plug. He gives us the answer of how to get out of that. Help somebody else. If you really want to get out of that funk, then help somebody else. Think about somebody else. Stop thinking about yourself. Like what Christ did. And as we're trying to get to that, you know, that wake up that 144,000, don't think about what you're going through. Think about somebody else. All right? And then try to help them out with what they're going through. And not just to be on some, like James, our teacher James tried to teach us about, let's not just be warmed and filled and then not help them with what they need, but just in an effort to just start to help, to let somebody know that you are being thought about. Somebody is thinking about you, all right? That's why I've been compiling this prayer list, and it's not for any pat on the back. It's not for any vainglory. I sincerely, and we also be sincerely, trying to pray for each other that we stay strong, that we be healed, that we can endure to the end. All right. So with that, I'm going to send this prayer up. I just ask that you might get some of these names, try and get all the names, and that you on your own private time, you might send these names up on your own. Okay. So the Most High, in the name of Christ, to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to help, to protect, to build up, and to deliver. Father, we ask, like it was told to us, instructed to us in Numbers chapter 6. Father, we ask that you might bless, Father, and that you might keep. Father, we ask that you might make your face to shine and to be gracious unto. Father, we ask that you please might lift up your countenance. Please look upon and give peace unto Yapaya and her sister Arlene, to our brother Abayar and his family, to the brother Awana Iyer and his family, to the sister Naya, who is the wife of brother Yawa'ab, to the sister Ayana, who is the wife of our brother Awana Iyer, to Ayana's brother Chad, and to his son Cammy, and to Ayana's father. Please be with him, Father. Father, to our brother Ariya's mother-in-law, Bobby Dixon. All right. To the sister, Sierra Leek, who happens to be the daughter of our brother David. To the family of brother Thalmor Merchach and his wife, Waradaya, Amma Waradaya, and their family. To our friends in Albuquerque, to Becky, to Darrow, and to Carmen. Father, I lift up the entire Lovett family, including Aunt Sally, Ernestine Morris, Charlie Westbrook, and Edna Jackson. Father, we also lift up to you the entire Coates family, including Shapar and his brother Rashwan and their sister Marari. Father, we lift up to you the brother Thawan Mayum out there in Houston and his family. Father, we lift up to you our brother Tahawam here in San Antonio, West Beverly. Father, we ask that you might be with Cece, the daughter of our brother Tazapa and his wife Arakaya. We ask, Father, for the daughter Aisha Lee, who is the daughter of our brother Gabar Kawa and her mother Anagashia. Father, we also ask for the baby girl Aliyah, who happens to be the daughter of our brother Bonabad and his wife Quadashaya. Father, we lift up to you Tazapa and his whole family, including his mother, Miss Catherine, and Miss Catherine's help, Miss Barbara, and her husband, Mr. Charles. Father, we lift up to you our brother and our friend, Yanawatan. Father, we ask for the brother Gabar Ya'ala, his wife, Aisha, and her mother, Ruthie Mae Johnson, out there in Florida, as well as all their nieces, nephews, and children. Father, we ask for the brother Sean Kwadash and his wife Mariah and their son Kazakia and all of our brother Sean Kwadash's children. Father, we lift up to you our brother LV, brother Levander, out there in California, and his mother Pat Washington and his cousin LaShonda Washington and all of their children, Father. Father, we lift up to you our sister, Quadashaya, who is the wife of our brother, Bonabad, and for the health elements that she's going through right now. Father, we continue to lift the prayers for our friends, Sean Stark, Sylvia Khan. Father, we lift up to you our brother, Yama, who is locked up right now in the Lubbock County Jail. We lift up to you, Father, our brother, Kazakabar, who is locked up in the Arapahoe County Jail. And Father, we lift up to you our sister, Ainawa, who happens to be the daughter of our brother, Guy Alabar. Father, we ask, like it says in Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, that if we put your name upon the children of Israel, that you will bless them. And Father, we ask these things as we try and emulate and follow the example that Christ gave us in putting others first, that you might hear these prayers, and that to you might be the glory, as well as your son, Yahawashai, Jesus Christ. And with that, Father, we thank you always. We thank you for all that you bring us, put us through, and for your word to give us comfort while we're going through all the trials and tribulations that we're going through. Thank you always. Amen. All right. Let me hit it up. All right.
All right. You gonna learn today?
Yep.
All right. You gonna learn today?
All right, cool, brothers and sisters. we're gonna take a quick bio intermission. All right. Plus, it also gives me a chance to kind of reset my mind as we get ready to go into the class. And we're going to continue with the class where it's Build Your House Upon the Rock. Right? And this happens to be episode 13. Build Your House Upon the Rock is episode 13. And we're going to be dealing with today, brothers and sisters, how Moses commanded obedience. But this is also touching off of, we're still going to be touching on, making sure that in building our house on the rock, that we're going with God's decisions, with God's notion, with how God feels about things. That we want to make sure that we're getting the same mindset as God and not in this thing where the world is trying to make God be about our mindset. That we're trying to make everybody around us be about what we're how we see it to where we make ourselves stubborn. We make ourselves rebellious. We make ourselves stiff-necked. That we are in such an expectation now everybody's supposed to see it our way and we want to victimize ourselves. That I'm the victim, and because now I'm the victim, that's why I don't have to see it your way because I've been through things, you got to see it my way. Well, brothers and sisters, as we're going through this, we should be understanding that the reason that we've had such hard lives is because we've not been going by God's judgments. We've not been going by God's decisions. We've not been going by God's notions. We've not been going by God's opinion, all right? And that Moses, in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, before we was about to enter into the promised land back then, as we are patiently awaiting the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and redeem us, to save us from this last captivity, to redeem us from this wicked world, and to enter into his kingdom, brothers and sisters, we have to clean ourselves up. We have to adopt the mind of Christ. We have to clean our minds. We have to circumcise the heart of our minds. We have to remember, he said, in the kingdom, no defiled thing is coming to his kingdom. Just like you wouldn't let nobody with dog poo in into your house because that's going to mess up the house. Well, if we have enough common sense that we ain't going to do something defiled or wicked or off coming to our houses, how do we think that God is going to let us just come any old type of way into his house? Where that's been tried already. That's what this time period from the time of Adam up until when Christ finally returns, that's what it's been. Everybody trying to bring in what they want to bring into God's house and not appreciating what God already put together, especially as his children. All right? So, quick bio break. And yes, I'm going to change up a little bit. Usually I do Back to Life. But I've been uploading a couple other songs and stuff. And just for a little inside joke between me and Brother Tasha Pa, and for shits and giggles, just I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to hit this song right here. When we come back, we're going to jump into this topic. Here we go.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
And Reverend Brown. We're here for the Reverend. This man's been my Reverend since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. He's a very special man. Reverend Brown. Reverend Brown. It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful Lord. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely. And while you're in the clapping mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree?
I believe the children are our future.
Thank you.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join the show?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is inside of me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Check the chocolate.
Damn, that boy can sing.
You must be crazy.
He good.
You must be crazy.
Alright. You're gonna learn today.
And going back and watching that video again. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. There's so many little like you know, innuendo, little things that you pick up on, like when the Reverend introduced Randy Jackson, played by Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy came up with that you know, looking like a ghetto Rick James. He said he's been my pastor since I was a little boy, and he kissed him. He actually kissed him on the cheek. You see where Arsenio Hall, who was playing the pastor, looked at him like sideways, and then you see where the Reverend wiped his cheek. Like, where he wiped his cheek off, where Randy Jackson kissed him. And then, you know, just the whole thing about, you know, he's really trying to really pull at the heartstrings of the people, and all the stuff that we're working in a regular concert, whatever, that everybody was just not feeling it, just not feeling it at all. And then for his, when he finished the song, and then trying to pick up, you know, Sexy Chocolate, and then he pointed stage left like he's about to exit. As he dropped the mic, oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, you know, and I'm a very cynical, sarcastic as person, so that's just, you know. My apologies. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we have to laugh to keep from crying. All right. Sometimes we gotta laugh to keep from crying. All right, brothers and sisters. One of the last scriptures that we was going over on Monday was Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37. I should know. We didn't. It was Leviticus chapter 18. Right, it was Leviticus chapter 18, and we went through the chapter, and there was a few verses that we highlighted. We went through Leviticus chapter 18, verses 4 and 5, and we were really, you know, really kind of digging into that, really trying to bring out everything we could with that. And then we jumped to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 26. I just want to read that again. All right, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 26, it says, "You shall therefore keep," because remember, I guess I got to back up just for a second. When we get to Leviticus chapter 18, Christ or the Most High is using Moses and having Moses tell us and explain to us the way you lived in Egypt. Don't bring that here. Don't bring that. You lived in Egypt for 430 years. For 210 years of that, we was in hardcore slavery. Okay, so everything you learned, how the Egyptians did things, what was acceptable to the Egyptians, what was commonplace or everyday with the Egyptians, do not bring that mentality. Do not bring that thought process. Do not bring the things that you got used to and for what worked in Egypt and celebrating and uplifting and partaking in the culture that was in Egypt. Don't bring that here. All right? Do not bring that here. That now that we've been freed from Egypt, and that's why, you know, the Most High went and was making sure that all the gods of the Egyptians, all the things that people looked up to that made Egypt great, from the agricultural gods, the agriculture, the culture, the military, the science, the entertainment, that whatever was going on in Egypt, those plagues that God sent was to destroy everything that made Egypt seem great, including finally the destruction of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Right, that was the final stroke that God was trying to kill through the physical example of us seeing how their gods were destroyed, how their gods didn't help them, and like to get a reputation amongst us as Israelites and for us to witness the power of our God, that our God is greater than any other God on the planet Earth, because the Egyptians at the time were the supreme power of the world, of the Earth, in everything. Even to this day, you know, people still talk about the architecture that they got from Egypt, the Egyptian geometry Egyptian arithmetic. Hell, Egyptian astrology is still being used to this day. So in every aspect of that, God destroyed and went and attacked those things. So in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4 and 5, he is establishing and saying it, just in case we didn't pick up on it. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4, he says, "Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." All right, so he's establishing from the jump, and then he goes and starts giving examples of some of the sexual immorality that was being done in Egypt. All right, and he was like, look, not only was that done in Egypt, don't bring it here, but the stuff I'm bringing to the promised land, and you're going to see the other nations, there's crap they're doing, I can't stand. Don't do those things either. I'm going to give you my judgment. I'm giving you my opinion. I'm going to show you how I think, my notion, my way of doing things. Get your mind right. Follow me. And he tells us, and we're going to go through that today in today's class, God's a jealous God. All right? So don't bring no other way. Don't, you know, like in a relationship between a man and a woman. I'm gonna go here first. Right? I'm going to go here first. If you're a woman, and you happen to get with a man, you've been through many, many relationships. You've been through several relationships. And you finally, now you're with another person, even though that's not how things should be, but you're with another person. If you and this man that you're now with, y'all are in the bed together in a very intimate place. Not even just having sex, but in an intimate place. And if this man calls out the name of a former lover, he calls out the name of another female, how does that make you feel? It wouldn't make you feel good at all. It wouldn't make you feel good at all. And y'all got all types of names and all types of magazines and articles and stuff about how to attack a man and how to attack a man who might be doing something like that, and why men ain't shit, why men ain't no good, this, that, and the third, or whatever. But the effect of he's with you but calls out the name of another woman, that would affect you. That would make you feel a certain way. That will make you feel some type of like inferiority. That will make you feel some type of crunchy. I can't really come up with I don't have a good vocabulary when it comes to this, but you would feel, it would make you feel triumphant. It would make you feel like, it wouldn't make you feel, it would not make you feel appreciated. Now, if it's a man, and now he gets with a woman who's been with other men, And the last man that this woman was with, she cooked. She might have cooked, because now a lot of women say they don't even cook, but she might have cooked. And in being with that man she was with before, that man liked his steak medium rare. And you might have got used, in order for him to show you appreciation, you made sure you catered to what he wanted. He likes his steaks medium rare, so you kind of got you got into the habit, the muscle memory, of cooking his steaks medium rare because that's what he liked and appreciated, and that was the person you was with. Things didn't work out. Now you're with someone else. Now you're with this new person, and they tell you they like their steaks well done, and you're cooking. Okay, you might be in the kitchen cooking, which is appreciated, but you still got your mind on how you did things with the person you was with before. And you're expecting that the man you with now should at least appreciate that at least you're in the kitchen, even though as a woman you asked him, how do you like your steaks cooked? You asked, and he told you, I like my steaks cooked well done. You asked him. Then you go to cooking, but you bring it medium rare. And he's like, you know what? You did ask. I'm going to give you some time, but I like my steaks well done. But you keep consistently bringing the steaks medium rare. Because the person you was with before, that's how they liked it. That's going to cause a problem. That's going to cause an issue. Well, let's put that same scenario now to the Most High. That as for the nation of Israel, however we did things in Egypt to survive in Egypt, to make the Egyptians happy with us in Egypt, to be a part of or accepted in Egypt. Now that Egypt has been destroyed and God is now pulling us to himself, and he's now telling us his opinion, he's now sharing with us how he likes things. He's sharing with us his innermost thoughts that he ain't sharing with no one else. But we continue to want to bring him what we're used to doing, for how we did for the gods that were in Egypt, for the way that things were done back in Egypt. Can you see how that would make God upset? And that would make God jealous? I'm trying to use that scenario that you know, trying to bring some reality to a practicality. Not a religious notion of mysticism. When we're dealing with the book, when we're dealing with the Bible, we're dealing with the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's let it be known, keep my judgments. These are my decisions. These are my opinions. This is how I want things done. Walk therein. Leviticus 18:5. You shall therefore keep my statutes. And my judgment, these are my rules. And this is my judgment. This is how I judge things. This is how I look at things. This is how I feel about things. Keep my judgments. And we went over two shows ago, and we covered a little bit in the last show, the definition of judgment from the Webster's 1828. God's opinion, God's notion, God's outlook. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Don't just do it when I'm not around. Live this way. Make it a part of your life. Change to do it this way. I am the Lord. All right? When we jump down to verse 26, as he gives an example of all the type of sexual immoralities, that the other nations were doing, that he's not going to allow, that there's not with him, that he can't stand? Verse 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. If you got people that other nations that it's like, think about this, brothers and sisters. If you have a child, if you have a teenager, you have a child, and a child brings a friend over to play, and let's say that your child is in middle school. I'm gonna say it like that. Sixth grade. There's 12 grades of public school. Let's say that your child right in the middle is a sixth grader. Just throw it right there. And this ain't directed at nobody in particular. Your child's a sixth grader, and they're trying to make friends, which you're kind of cool with. And they bring over a friend, somebody that they're trying to impress, they're trying to make a friend. And this friend's parents in the sixth grade let him smoke weed, let him watch porn on his phone. When your child brings this person into your house, and this other child is trying to bring in to your house, they come in, they're at the door, walking in with a blunt, a lit blunt. Oh, you know, I ain't got to take it that extreme. They're vaping. And your child and this child are laughing. They're looking at the phone, and they're just having a ball. But you see this kid coming in with a vape, blowing this steam out of his mouth or her mouth, and they're laughing at the phone. He's like, man, what's going on? Let me see. And he doesn't have any type of fear, any type of nervousness. He walks right over to you and gives you his phone, and it is Pornhub. And it's bestiality. Are you going to be like, you know, just let the kids be kids? I don't want to intrude upon this child's outlook on life. And yeah, well, if his parents let him do that, then all right, cool. Who am I to have him come over to my house and say and not say something to him or her? Come on, y'all. If we can hopefully, in that example I just gave, can relate to that or can even picture that, take the same scenario now and place that with God being the parent. And now here we are coming to his house, which is supposed to be holy, which is supposed to be separate, which is supposed to be different from all the rest of everywhere else on the planet, or let alone the neighborhood. And you think it's going to be accepted that they can just bring this in? Then now hospitality is supposed to be extended to something like this? You know what? I need somebody to remind me. I need to download that clip. Hail to the no, no, no. I need to download that clip because right now I need it. You know what? We do have this one from, as I'm thinking about my brother Tazapai. I think he might be on the line. Let me pull the studio up. Tazapai, how you say this? How you do this right here? Right here. Lavelle.
Two chops to the throat. Two chops to the damn throat.
Two chops to the damn throat. Come on, y'all. So we have to make God real. The living God real, okay? So now let's jump to Leviticus chapter 19. Let's jump to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 37. All right, Leviticus chapter 19, we'll start at verse 37. It says, therefore, shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. So don't just observe how I do things. Do things how I do it. Don't get this mentality of, oh, well, that's just how you do things, so this is how I do things, And you know what? You know what I'm discovering? We just have a personality clash. We just have a difference of personalities. Because, look, there's things that you like to do that I'm not really down with. And there's things that I like to do that you're not really down with. So you know what? We need to have a more open dialogue. We need to compromise if we're going to make this work. We need to be friends. We need to work on our friendship. And what that really means is we're only going to be friends if I accept your abominations. In your mind, that you're not going to change this work. I have to change, or God has to change, in order to make this work. And that's why we got to work on the friendship. Brothers and sisters, before I move on, just on that point alone, please join me. Let's go to St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Gospels, right? Chapter 14 and verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 14. St. John, chapter 15, verse 14. And please, please, please open your Bibles, whether on your phone, your tablet. If you have the actual Bible, the either the soft cover, hardback, the paper, please read along with me. All right? St. John, or the book of John, the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the fourth book of the New Testament, John, the 15th chapter and the 14th verse. Now, hopefully your Bible is a Bible that has the words of Christ in red. So as you're reading, you might be able to differentiate when Christ is speaking and when he's not speaking. Now, if you got your got a Bible, a paperback book, a softcover Bible from the dollar store, a lot of times they don't have the words of Christ in red. But on your Bible apps, you should have a Bible app that's got the words of Christ in red. All right? And we're going to read this in different versions. All right? We're going to read St. John chapter 15 verse 14. Let me get it right. St. John chapter 15 verse 14. I'm going to read this verse in different versions so that maybe something might be able to sink in. In St. John chapter 15 and verse 14. And I'm reading right now from the King James. All right, the King James Bible. This is what it reads. This is what it quotes. That's a better way of saying it. This is what it quotes. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I need to go ahead and get this podcast studio. I'm seeing on Temu, Temu, which is they're on Facebook and also on TikTok. I can probably get they have it advertised. I can get a studio with the mic board, all the sound effects, the headphones, and the different microphones and stuff for just $40. And I'm thinking about making the jump. I'm thinking about making the plunge, go ahead and getting it. But I need to get the sound effect that's got like the whistling wind sound effect. That after the statement, there is nothing else. And let it kind of just, let it kind of just marinate. Again, John, chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, check this out. Let's read verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So Christ is like, look, the love I have, there's no greater love than a man lays down his life for his friends. But now Christ is telling you who his friends are, that he's going to lay his life down for. Oh, and Brother Tazapa, I think you went over this. I know you went over something like this. I need to go back into the archives. I'm not just trying to say this because I see your number on the switchboard either. A lot of times we read Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Yeah. If we was just to read that part right there, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to give my life for my woman. That no matter what she does, no matter how she acts, I'm supposed to give my life for her. Okay, but there's more to the story. There's a little bit more to that than just make sure the woman feels and gets every damn thing she wants without her having to do anything. That it's funny how when it comes to the woman, it's supposed to be unconditional love. That she's supposed to get love unconditionally. That no matter what she does, how she does it, it's supposed to be loved and appreciated and accepted. But for the man, see it. Anyway, yeah, I'm going through the shit in my house. Cool. St. John chapter 15, verse 13. St. John chapter 15, verse 13. And I'm not going through nothing that Christ didn't go through. All right? I ain't going through nothing that Christ didn't go through, so I'm not looking to be the victim. I'm not looking to get anybody on my side. Bag all that. I shouldn't even have said nothing. Anyway, St. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So Christ is saying, man, the love I have, you can't show a greater love than that you're going to lay down your life for a friend. But let's read verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Christ said, look, I'll show you love. I will lay down my life for you if you do what I command you. This is Christ speaking to the disciples. Not just any Tom, Dick, and Harry or Joe Schmo walking down the street. You want to see a great love of Christ? Well, lay down his life for his friends. These friends are doing whatsoever they are commanded. Not asked. Well, did you have to say it that way? Did you have to tell me to do it like that? You couldn't ask me. You couldn't just ask me to do something. You had to tell me to do it. If we're supposed to be getting ready for the kingdom of God, if we're supposed to get ready to go to the wilderness and then have God's righteousness on earth like it is in heaven, why aren't you reading the will of God? Why aren't you changing? Why are you trying to force things to be seen your way and not go by God's judgment and not go by God's perspective? Christ will lay down his life for his friend, and there's no greater love than a man does that. But you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Christ, I will lay down my life for you if you do what I command you. So this notion that now it's about we got to be friends, which means we're supposed to accept whatever somebody does, or like God's supposed to accept us no matter what we bring to him, no matter how we do things. That's not how God works. He's a jealous God. All right? So again, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 37, going back, therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, I am the Lord. That is not hard to, that don't take rockets, that don't take a Rhodes Scholar degree to get that. You know what? And I said I was going to read that in different versions, didn't I? So let's read this in different versions. Where's my compare switch? All right, cool. In the Faithful Version, it says the same thing. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. In the American Standard Version, the ASV. The American Standard Version, you're my friends if you do the things which I command you. Same thing. The Bible is basically English. You are my friend. Okay, check this out. Now we get a little different wording, but still the same point. The Bible is basically English for St. John chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I give you orders to do. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, that's the Bible in basic English. All right? The Beeman Study Bible said the same thing. The here's one. It's the CEV. All right, the CEV. And the CEV is the Contemporary English Version. All right, the Contemporary English Version for St. John chapter 15, verse 14. Just in case some of the other words were confusing. The CEV, St. John chapter 15, verse 14. And you are my friends if you obey me. The Darby. Oh, who is Darby? Let me get this. The Darby Bible. Darby Study Bible. The Darby Study Bible. He says, you are my friends if you practice whatever I command you. If a person is not understanding this, because you don't want to. The Good News Bible said the same thing. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I mean, we can't get away from this. Okay, from the JMMT. Now, let me look this up, y'all. I like this. The Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. This scholar right here, Jonathan Mitchell, New Testament, on John chapter 14, 15, verse 14, in quotations, you folks are, or you exist continuously being, my friends. So if you can or would simply keep on doing or be habitually producing whatever I myself am constantly imparting as the goal in you, or repeatedly giving as inner direction to you, progressively implanting as the end for you. Now implanting as the interior purpose and destiny by you. Jonathan, I don't know who the F you are, but damn. Your word study game is off the chain. Facts, bars. I'm old, so I don't know what one of the modern language slang might be. Damn. This scholar, Jonathan Mitchell. I'm gonna read this one more time. You folks are, now it goes in parentheses. You mean you exist continuously being your. My friends, you will exist and continuously being my friends. So if you can or would simply keep on doing or be habitually producing whatever I myself am constantly imparting as the goal in you, or repeatedly giving as inner direction to you, progressively implanting as the end for you. This is your end for you. This was your. There is no after you finish what I'm doing, now you're gonna go do something else. No, you understand. This is the goal. We're gonna reach the goal Christ wants, that God wants. Not okay. I'm gonna get this. I'm just gonna God just get this. I'm gonna do this for you, so I can go do what I want to do. Reading on with what Jonathan Mitchell says. Now implanting as the interior purpose and destiny by you. Make my goals your destiny if you want to be my friend. You're my folks. You're my friends if you simply keep on doing and be habitually producing what I have planned for you as the goal, as your destiny. Come on, y'all. With that, I almost wish this was, I was like on Club Shay Shay. This Robin need a drink after something like that. Good Lord. Good googly moogly. You know what? I want a soundboard, y'all. I want a soundboard. From there, brothers and sisters, we're going to get into a lot of reading right now, a lot more reading right now. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to try and get through this whole chapter. Matter of fact, we're going to try and get through Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 5, and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I know we're not going to be able to get through the whole thing because I'm not, you know, there's going to be interjections, there's going to be other edification that's coming out, but we're going to try this. The title of today's class is Building a House on a Rock. Moses commands obedience in dealing with God's judgments and dealing with God's way of looking at things, and we are to adopt his way of doing things and not bring in nothing else. So now in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Now, mind you, brothers and sisters, remember, this, well, not Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is at the end of the 40 years of us walking through the wilderness, waiting for that rebellious, stubborn, hard-headed, stiff-necked, not wanting to let go of Egypt, not letting one go of the things I'm used to. Rebellious people had to walk until they finally dropped dead. Or if they got that rebellious, God had to, you know, open up the earth and swallow them up in an earthquake. Or at another time, he sent just fire down. As a parent, your kids ever do some shit so egregious? Let me try and get scholarly. They do something so effed up that you just snap. I'm gonna go ahead. I don't want to, you know, incriminate nobody or myself, but when I was growing up, if I was doing something just so outrageous. So I wasn't using my brain at all and was doing something so stupid. My mother was the main one. My mother would grab the closest object that was next to her I'll say it like this, to get my attention. Broom, extension cord, phone, wind spoon, belt, whatever, shoe, whatever was available to her to try and go upside my head, to, as the proverbial, knock some sense into me. Because I was doing something very asinine, very appropriate for living in that household. I'll say it like that. And God got that way with the Israelites many a time in that 40 years in the wilderness. That he just snapped on some of the dumb shit we were doing, and that he literally caused fire just to come down. Like, they did what? Boom. Where Moses and Aaron had to run out many a day, many a time to send up prayers just to get God to stop. Reading on, y'all. I'm reading this again. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Verse 2. "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Brothers and sisters, there's times where sometimes I want to stop studying. And I'm not trying to play the victim. I'm not. This time I'm going to stop studying, because you see people go against the scripture so much and so often, and you keep trying to bring it to their attention to where they get mad at you for bringing out what God is saying. Did you notice how Moses is saying right here in verse 2? There's no need for you to add your words to what he commanded. You ever tell somebody, like, in your house to do something, and they got to add to it? They got to just say something? Instead of just, you know, keep it quiet and just doing what you told them to do, they got to have some words. And how many times as a parent will you ask a child, you know, when a child says something under their breath, you say, the hell did you say? Say it again. We know we experience these things as parents. But yet somehow we feel that when we're given commands, we're allowed to say stuff under our breath. Or just have an open outward protest while doing what we're doing. Like God ain't checking this whole thing out. And we're supposed to be rehearsing the righteous acts? When you give us something to do, shut up. I'll put it in extreme layman's terms. Just like as a parent, you tell your child to do something, you don't want to hear nothing. You don't want to hear the wind sucking through their teeth. You don't want to hear their eyes roll to the top of their head. But somehow we got this notion that now as God tells us things and people read the Bible and giving us God's word, that we have the right, I guess it's the Beastie Boys mentality. We have the right to fight and to party, or maybe it's the PE. Fight the power. We have to fight the power that be. Is that what it is? Verse 2, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. How many times as a parent, you tell your children something, and then you tell them to repeat back everything you just said, and they still forget? So then you get to the point where not only do – and remember, Lavelle Crawford did that real good when he was talking about – when he would go shopping with his moms, if y'all haven't heard that clip, it's funny as hell. And he had to repeat back everything she said, and he repeated back to the team. When repeating doesn't work, and then you have them write down what you said so that there can be no mistaking, because you know the excuse we like to give is, or that's used is, I didn't hear you say that. Oh, you didn't tell me that. So as a parent, you try and outmaneuver their conniving sneakiness. So you tell them to repeat everything I said. Then it gets to the point where you get so tired as a parent having to deal with this thing of them for being forgetful, not paying attention to what they're doing, and snapping on them, that you're like, now you give them something to do and you tell them to write it down and read it back to you. Don't you see this is how God did to us? Don't diminish. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Did y'all notice the word command is being used here and doesn't have nothing to say about ask? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to look up the word command. I'm not. Let that be your homework. I am not going to look up the word command. I'm not. But like a strong-ass magnet, it's pulling me, y'all. It's pulling me. Do we have to get shit? Do we have to, oh, my goodness. We have to go look up the word command? I'm supposed to be getting through three chapters today, and I got 30 minutes left. Well, 30 minutes for 2 hours. But this is going to go, for those listening live, we're going over the two-hour mark. We're gonna blow past the 2 hour mark like I'm on a horse named Silver. We're going past the 2 hours. All right, we're gonna go past 2 hours. And I'm about to look up the word command. I feel like they just keep pulling me in. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Command. Oh, my goodness. I just got tired, y'all. I just got tired. I mean, a spirit of just exhaustion, just mental exhaustion just hit me. All right, from Webster's 1828 Dictionary. Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the American Language. Command is a verb. To bid, to order, to direct, to charge, implying authority. To power, to control, and to require obedience. So when the scripture says, ye shall not add, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. You shall not add unto the word which I bid, which I order, which I direct, what I charge you. Where God's implying his authority, where God is using his power to control, he is using his power to control, and where he's requiring obedience, all right? The word which I command you, definition number two, to govern, to lead, or direct, to have or to exercise exercise supreme authority over. There's a lot of definitions here. Let me see if I can sort this down. To have or to exercise supreme authority, to possess the chief power, to govern. As the general commands with dignity and humanity. What general commands in Canada? To have to exercise a controlling influence over. Definition number six. Number five, to direct or to send. Number four, to overlook, to have in the power of the eye without obstruction. Definition number three, to have in power, to be able to exercise power or authority over. So ye shall not add unto the word which I command or have power to be able to exercise power or authority over you. Don't add to what God said where he's exercising his power and authority over us. Finish down with verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Remember, Baal-peor is when Balaam and Balak had came up with a plan to subvert the Israelites. That they couldn't conquer us because God was with us, but they said, if we could find a way to defile these men, then their God will allow them to be punished. Not destroyed, but allow them to be punished. So the plan was devised, the cunning, sneaky plan, the conniving-ass plan was came up with, set some beautiful women, other Moabites and the Ammonites and the Midianites, just close to the camp. And the curiosity of the Israelite young men is going to go out there, and they're going to want to get with these women. And these women are going to be so fine. You know, and do like, knowing that it was the Midianite women, the Moabite women, and women, you know, things like the Kama Sutra, things like Freaknik, things like Mardi Gras. Have these women be dressed in all their elaborate, sensual, tight-fitting clothes and let it get into the minds of these men. So that these men are going to be so overcome with lust and desire. And as these women said, love. These women said, if you really love us, you'll forsake your God and you'll sacrifice and you'll do things our way if you love us. Always testing a man's love. If you love me, you would do this. If you love me, forsake your God. You know, like Adam did, like Eve did with Adam in the garden. If you love me, you would do whatever I want. If you love me, you would lay down your life to make sure I feel secure, happy, peaceful. This is the same plan that the Midianite women did from what Balaam told them to do, all right, in trying to appease Balak. And how God got so pissed off at that, 23,000 men died. 23,000 men died. So here, Moses is having to remind us, you know, trying to stir up our pure mind, a way of remembrance, like Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Disturb your pure mind by way of remembrance. Y'all remember how God, when y'all went off after Baal Peor, 23,000 of y'all died following your lust. Not wanting to obey God. Wanting not to observe how God does things. You wanted to follow you. Then some of the elder, the mighty men that were in the army got so bold as to, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to give you power over me. I want to do this. I want to be with these women. And remember, there was the man, Zimri, I think his name was, who brought the Moabite woman into his tent, and how Phinehas, the son of Aaron, went inside that tent, and it says that with his javelin, he ran them both through. He stabbed them both while they was laying in Zimri's tent. He stabbed them both, killed them both with his javelin to appease the wrath of God. 23,000 men died. So Moses trying to remind us, do not add or take away or diminish from what you're being commanded. Verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God, and alive every one of you this day. And every one of you is, verse 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive. Every one of you this day, that those who didn't follow that madness, truly today you're still alive because you didn't follow that madness. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you. This word gets good, y'all. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. This is sound very familiar for a lot of us. This is sound very familiar to a lot of us. Verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. What? God's statutes and God's judgments. God's opinion. God's way of looking at things. God's rules. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people for us obeying the voice of God. We are supposed to now be the visual example to the rest of the world. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? That God has no problem. God has no problem giving to us when we're obedient. He wants to give. But, you know, from our attitudes, we can make God turn his back, make God ignore. You know, as much as Janet Jackson asked that song, he used to do nice things for you, but what he's done for you lately? You made an anthem out of that song, and to where, you know, even to modern day Beyonce is still following that same mindset or what have you, and Trina and Cardi B or what have you. And that becomes the question, like, to attack the man. You're not the man I fell in love with. You don't do those things no more. But you do also understand that you stopped being obedient. you know that when we first was getting together that there's things going on that you did without question. Now everything that you're being told to do is a question. You're going to insert your opinion. You're going to insert your voice. Instead of just doing what you're told. This is how God is dealing with the nation of Israel. This is how God is dealing with the nation of Israel. Message. I need to download that soundbite too. Message. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day, that God's statutes and his judgments are what? Righteous. So if we understand or know or show that we think is righteous, what you got to say? That the nation's supposed to now see how we're operating, and they're supposed to be inspired by how we operate. Verse 9. Only take heed. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And Tazapai is going over No Child Left Behind. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now are we supposed to teach this to our children? We're supposed to teach this to our children's children and even our children's children's children. This is what you would call a legacy. Not an heirloom, but a legacy. This mindset is supposed to be handed down to our sons, their sons, and the sons' sons. That's your son, that's your grandson, that's your great-grandson. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. This was when we first came out of Egypt. It was 3 months after we crossed the Red Sea. 3 months after we crossed the Red Sea, God said, Israel is going to hear my words. The nation is going to hear the words of God. Up until this time, God would speak to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke to us. Go back and read. Remember, Moses wasn't a good speaker, but he spoke to Aaron, and then Aaron might be the one that spoke to all the rest of us. Moses spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to Aaron. Aaron spoke to us. Go read. It's there. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And tell us why I went over this. Verse 11, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. If y'all haven't gone in a series with us when we go over this and have gone over this, well, it tells you that the camp of the Israelites was approximately 17 miles away from the base of the mountain. It says when the Most High came. Remember, this was during the time where Moses told the Israelites, don't come at your wife, don't have sex for 3 days. And do not touch this mountain. Do not touch this mountain. And he had the Levites, the priests, they had to build fences, barriers, to make sure that a nigga didn't run up the damn mountain or even come touch the mountain. He said, because I'm gonna be there. They're going to know us. They make sure. And Moses went up. And then the Mosiah started to appear. And it says that the horn that sounded, the thunders, the lightnings, and the earthquake, and the darkness that was there, it says we literally ran back to find cover back at the camp. I'm still trying to imagine what it's like to sprint 17 miles. Every time I try and picture that, I'm like, you know, the comedians make a joke about how if one nigga starts running, everybody gonna start running, and we'll ask questions later. On this day, we all ran, and we knew exactly where we was running from. We were running just from the voice of God. Seventeen-mile sprint. Verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. There's no need to have to see. Just use your ears and listen. And we couldn't help but listen. Verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant. Remember, covenant's contract. He's like, look, y'all heard the covenant. Y'all heard? Which he commanded you to perform. To perform. 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it. Because at that time, there wasn't no thing where it's going to take us 40 years in the wilderness. The plan was to go from Egypt, come to Mount Sinai, make the covenant with God, and then travel on to the promised land. At this particular time, when God came and gave us the Ten Commandments, and we all heard the Ten Commandments, there was no plan for it to be 40 years in the wilderness. That was not the plan. All right. Now, from there, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to tell you again, once again, for those that are listening live, if you're listening in through the computer, the two-hour mark is about to expire, and they're going to shut the show down listening through the computer live. If you called in, stay called in. You're going to be able to you'll continue with us live as we're going over this live. If you're catching this through the library, through the archive, don't worry about it. The show is going to end just when it ends. But if you're listening live right now, what is this, March 6th, 2024, and it's 11:51 right now, you get about 9 minutes if you're listening through the computer. All right? If you're listening through your laptop, through the website, you got about 9 minutes, and then it's going to shut down. But the class is going to continue. All right. So now we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And if I can, I do want to go through all the Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 6 before I actually end it for today. All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Don't just hear it. Do it. Learn it, live it, and apply it. Verse 2. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, meaning our fathers, that like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't make this covenant with them. This covenant at Mount Sinai in Horeb, that was with us. The Lord, verse 3, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Now, remember, at this time, a lot of these men that are adults now, when Moses is saying this, they were children. They were children. Remember, their parents had to die. Their grandparents had to die. But these children had to grow up now, and now the children have now matured and are about to enter into the promised land, because now the last of the rebellious adults are finally dead. Just about the last one that needs to go is Moses. All right, verse 5. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, verse 6, I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Like, so Egypt is done. I saved you from there. Egypt, I brought you out of that bond. I brought you out of there. Verse 7, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So knowing that I did that, and you saw how I destroyed all their gods and all their influence, all their culture, don't bring their gods, their culture, their practices, their lifestyles, their way of doing. Do not bring that here. Thou shalt have no other gods. And remember, the word gods, when you look at the word God in Hebrew, is Elohim or Elohim. And one of the definitions for Elohim is influences. Not only does it mean gods, it can be translated as gods, but it also translates even further to mean influences. Thou shalt have no other influences before me. I don't know how. I don't know why that's a hard concept. Verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Don't get caught up into those zodiacs. Don't get caught up into things that you find special and cute and sentimental, and that you're going to cherish it. God said, don't do that. Stop looking for, you need something to see with your eyes to worship. You don't need your eyes to listen. Verse 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Payback is motherfucking. I'm thinking about Ice Cube right now. Payback's a bitch. Not a bitch is payback. Well, I guess in some cases it could be, but no. God's vengeance for not doing things his way, and we agreed that we were going to. We promised we were going to, and now we're going to come back and we're going to renege. Play a game of spades and renege. What's going to happen? But yet we figure we can renege with God, and God's supposed to have just be understanding. Verse 10. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So who is God going to show his mercy to? Those that love him and keep his commandments. I don't know where there's a disconnect. God will love us if we keep his commandments. I mean, how is that we miss that part? Verse 11, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Saying God damn is not taking God's name in vain. It's promising you're going to do something. And then try to call God as a witness to deceive the other person. I swear to God I'm going to do this. I swear on my baby's eyes. Just let your yay be yay and let your nay be nay. There's no need to have to invoke that emotion of how serious you are to get somebody to do something. Because then you take the name of the Lord God in vain. But not because you said God damn. God damn means God cursed him. God hurt somebody. Verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. Remember, in Egypt, y'all had 10-day work week. Now deal with God, it's a 7-day. Remember the seventh day. Sanctify it. Set it apart. Keep it holy. Verse 13. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Why is he having to stress this? Because in Egypt, for that 430 years we were there, it was a 10-day work week. Now, he's making sure we understand. And this is now the end. It's at the end of the 40 years we've been in the wilderness. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. That's pretty, I mean, don't let that become an excuse why we can't congregate. He covers that in Leviticus chapter 23. The reason why we were commanded not to work is so we can congregate, so we can come together and feast and not have the excuse, like Christ can make it explain to us, how people will begin to make excuse. Let me just get this real quick. I'm going to mess up y'all. I'm going to say it real quick. I know my time is getting short, but I'm going to finish this class. E-X-C-U-S-E. Well, I'm going to finish today. When we go to Luke chapter 14, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 15. I'm going to read this quickly. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of the Most High. Verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So the feast is here. The day we're supposed to gather together and celebrate and come together is here. But now this first one comes up and says, you know what? I got some property. I've got some land. I have to. I need to go see it. Have me excused. Understand why I'm not going to be there. All right? That's the first one. Verse 19. And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And you understand, this is on business. I need to go handle my business. Pardon me and have me excused. Let me have an excuse of why I'm not going to do what you want, why I'm not going to gather together, because I got something else I need to go handle. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Happy wife, happy life. He didn't even say, have me excused. He just said, I married a woman, and I'm not coming. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord those things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 24, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Come on, y'all. And then he goes into the cost of discipleship, but I didn't want to cover that today. All right, so hopefully that gives enough of some explanation about keeping the Lord's Sabbath, why he said not to let our work cease, and so we can gather together, so we can congregate. And not give the excuse, the reason I can't congregate is because I got some work to do. I got to go do this, or because I got to give a wifey. That's why I can't make it. Come on. Let's see through. All right, so going back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land when the Lord thy God giveth thee, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I mean, honor your parents. Respect, learn to respect authority. We can't see God, but we can see our parents. Learn to respect the authority you can see, your father and your mother. As the Lord thy God commanded thee, the first covenant of promise. Tazpah covered this. Verse 17. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. After that, he didn't say nothing else. He didn't add. That was, it was right there. This is a covenant. You want me to be your God? Y'all obey this right here. There's more to come, but if we're going to start this relationship right, you have to obey this right here. And all Israel heard these words. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. Like, no, we can't keep doing this. That was enough. No. If we had to hear God's voice again, it's going to be all this fire, this thickness, the thick clouds, the thunders, the lightnings, that where you can taste the lightning, that just his voice made the ground shake. Now, if we got to go through that again, we ain't going to make it. Verse 26, for who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. This is what all the elders of Israel said. Verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto me, unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. This is where Christ gets that thing about, by your words you're going to be judged, and by your words you're going to be condemned. We agreed. Verse 29, oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Don't change. Don't veer. Walk a straight path. Walk a straight line. Verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. All right? I do want to get into, I know we went over the two-hour mark. I do want to continue with chapter 6. All right? I do want to continue with chapter 6. So it says the greatest commandment. Dealing with Deuteronomy now, chapter 6. I hope you see that all this is all continuous. All right? I hope you see that all this is continuous. That Moses is relating all this is all continuous. It was one speech that he was giving to us. It wasn't broke up a little bit here. Then we came back later and did a little bit here. This is him speaking to us all at the same time. This one continuous thing. I'm going to say thing. Speech. This wasn't broke up. It was all spoken at the same time. So now Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Do we hear a theme in that right there? Or something keeps resounding, keeps coming back? These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. The judgments, the judgments, the judgments. Which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. I'm going to read verse 2 again. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. How do we fear the Lord thy God? To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Not a few days. Not just, you know, if you came from church just on Sundays. Or now we Israelites just on the Sabbath. Or, you know, I'll squeeze God in, you know, a couple of days out the week. But I got to handle my business. That's not what this says. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And I've covered that series. I did a 20-part series just on the land of milk and honey. Covered that. Verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Shema Yashallah, Yahweh Alahayanawa, Yahweh Achad. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. This was supposed to be on our mind. These commandments, these judgments, are supposed to stay on our mind. It should never be the Brian McKnight. I wonder, do you ever think about me? Do I ever cross your mind? God should never have to feel that way about us. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and it shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know, this is how you're supposed to look. This is what your outlook is supposed to be. God's decisions, God's opinions. Don't look to the left. Don't look right. Look straight at what God wants you to look at. We're supposed to teach this to our children and our children's children. I guess it's supposed to be the baby face. I only think of you on two occasions. That's day and night. I go for broke if I can't be with you. Now, we know everybody, all the women are like, oh, yeah, oh, baby, oh, yeah. But no, that's supposed to be a gospel song going to God. That only you can make it right. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fieldest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Well, this is, when God is dealing with the nation of Israel, who got rich because you worked? When God blesses, he's not blessing because you worked. I do want to direct us to verse 10 again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Here in America, after so-called the Emancipation Proclamation, and slaves were supposedly freed, how many freedmen towns were built across America, across the South, that the slaves built? You know, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, Rosewood, and others. How many of them were destroyed? We built them. God didn't. Yeah, am I saying that the slaves didn't work hard to build and become entrepreneurs to build these cities? No, they definitely did. They, from being slaves, they came and we built cities here in America. I'm only using America as the example because we're here. I'm here in America. A lot of hard work and dedication went from sharecropping to whatever it is to where we built cities. We built townships ran by black people, controlled by black people, controlled by us. Let alone, you know, to think about all the before there was reservations, like, How many cities and metropolises and pueblos did the Native Americans build here in America that had no other influence by any other people, by any Europeans? We're at a point now where we keep looking at it. Now, that's the blessing, because we built this city, because we built this. When God blesses, brothers and sisters, the nation of Israel, he's given us great and goodly cities that we ain't got to build. Verse 11, and houses full of all good things, which thou fieldest not. It wasn't because you went to the swap meet, or you went to IKEA, or you went to wherever people go, Louis Vuitton store. And houses full of all good things, which thou fieldest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not. You want water? You want to water your crops, water your animals, your herds, your orchards? It's not because you had to go out and dig the well. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And Tosva, I know you went over this. I know you did cover this. A lot of our class be overlapping. Verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You should not go after other gods of the people which are round about you. Now, I'm going to read this with the word Elohim or the Elohim. I'm borrowing this from the brother Mike Allah and the brother Aisha Wadazah. Verse 14. You should not go after other Elohim. You should not go after other influences of the people which are round about you. Verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Like Martin said in his special, crazy, deranged, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massa. Massa, brothers and sisters, was where we was just complaining about having to eat the manna. We just would not stop bitching. We was complaining and saying, God, only you brought us out here was to kill us because you can't really save us. You brought us out here just to destroy us. We was just complaining. And Moses is like, look, don't do that. Don't try to manipulate God with our complaints. I'm going to say it again. We need to stop trying to manipulate God with our complaining, because now we're tempting him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded thee. When it says his testimonies, let's talk about the things that God did, not what you did or what somebody else did for you. In a relationship, if you always want to keep bringing up what somebody else did for you, if a man keeps bringing up, man, girl, my other girl used to do this, you ain't doing nothing. Girl, you ain't doing it like how my mama used to do it. If a woman keeps hearing that type of shit, ain't that going to discourage her? And vice versa. My last boyfriend was like this. You ain't shit. My last boyfriend was like that. My last boyfriend made sure I had this and had that and whatever. Just bitching. Complaining. We're supposed to be paying attention to God's testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded us. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Please, 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 please highlight this if you haven't. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell us probably went over this, but I'm just going to read through it, because he broke this down. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Like what Todd's father's been bringing out, and like we're reading right now, we're supposed to make sure our kids, our sons, our sons' sons, and our sons' sons' sons, down to our great-grandchildren, our great-grandson, are supposed to be getting this message. Verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. I don't know how we get around verse 25. You're only going to be we are only going to be right in the eyes of God when we observe to do all his commandments and his judgments. That's the only way we're going to be right in his eyes. If we're not doing all his commandments, his statute, his judgments, there's no way in hell we're going to be right in God's eyes. It's just no way. So with that, brothers and sisters, we got through three chapters. We got through where Moses commands obedience. And hopefully, I was able to come across, as I was about to wrap this up, we have to keep God's statutes, God's laws, and God's judgments, how he judges things. And don't bring in the influence from anybody or anything else that might sway us from his judgment, from his decision, from his opinion. If we want good from him, and come on, chapter 6, houses that you ain't got to build, cities you ain't got to build, houses you ain't got to fill up, vineyards you ain't got to plant, orchards you don't have to plant, and then, I mean, come on, y'all, damn. As the price of everything is going up and up and up and up, to where people are getting more into planting, but it's something you got to plant and hope that the bugs don't get to your whatever little crop you got going on or whatever disease might get into your crops or whatever, I ain't going to say crops, into your garden. Come on, y'all. This ain't hard. All right? This ain't hard. Let's get Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Let's get Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. Just repeating, you know, that dead horse type thing, just repeating it over and over again. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22. You shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell in, spill you not out. How many times he keeps stressing and saying over and over, keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Don't add, don't take away. Hear, do what I command. Keep my decisions, keep my opinions, keep my way of doing things. That's the only way there is to do things. Don't bring in nothing else. Right? Jumping to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Jumping to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Wherefore, ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. We wonder, you know, women get this thing in their head, like, all they want is they want to feel protected. They want to feel safe. Well, damn, bitch. Why don't we do what pleases God? Why don't we keep his judgments and keep his statutes? So we'll be safe. Damn. And Leviticus chapter 26, verse 15. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 15. And if you shall despise my statutes, listen, y'all, if we shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, that you will not do all my commandments, that you break my covenant. Oh, my God. We can go all through Leviticus 26. Basically, y'all, all there is punishments for disobedience. Matter of fact, I like that. We're gonna end up right there, and we're gonna pick up with this my next class. We'll end it right there. I'm going to pick it up on this probably on Monday. All right, brothers and sisters. Thank you for those that have listened into the whole thing. Whether you're listening live or you came back and cut the archive, it's all good. If you're listening live, please check out today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. So we have class tonight with starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Stream of Wisdom. Houston has class tonight on YouTube. And then also we have the Sport of Truth has their class starting tonight at 7:30. So at least open up a tab or a browser on each class so we get the algorithm up. All right? So we get the algorithm up. Whether you go ahead and listen to it in entirety, the Houston class, cool. But if you start with the Houston class and then jump over to Sport of Truth, at least keep a browser open so that now we can get the algorithms up for both classes. All right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end today's class with that right there. Let me close this out. I'm going to end it with that. All right, so brothers and sisters, to the 12 tribes worldwide, shalom.
Shema. Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.